All right, good evening, everyone. We are down to the second installment of our series called The Apostles' Creed. Okay, we're looking at the Apostles' Creed, and I think some of you know what a creed means. Ano po ibig sabihin ng creed? Iba sa inyo, akala nyo yung creed yung madamot. Hindi po, ang tawag po dun, greed. Ito po, creed. All right, so iba po yung greed sa creed. Okay, so well, we appreciate Tom for preaching last Sunday. Actually, it would take a different level of intellect to preach something like that. To combine the three parts, talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in one preaching last Sunday. So you have to appreciate Him for that. But anyway, we are down to the second installment here tonight, and I'm really excited for this one. This is a brief preaching for all of us. We're going to talk about the church. But before that, let me just explain something for a while. The Apostles' Creed right here. Whenever you look at the word creed, it comes from the Latin word credo. Okay, credo, which means what? I believe. That actually makes sense because if you look at the Apostles' Creed, it would always start with the words, I believe. All right? Now, who among you here knows that there is a big difference between knowing and believing? It's one thing to know something. It's another thing to actually believe that which you know. All right? Allow me to just explain this for a while. In fact, I remember in John chapter 11, I don't have it here, but in John chapter 11, it talks about the death of Lazarus, who was a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, let me just narrate the story for a while, and I'm going to drive my point after which. The Bible says Jesus was informed that his friend Lazarus was sick. In fact, that sickness was going to lead to death, all right? But instead of going to where Lazarus was, Bible says Jesus stayed where he was 2 more days, right? And so by the time that he got there in the place of Lazarus, from a distance, he saw one of the sisters of Lazarus, Martha, running towards him. And here's what Martha said. Martha looked at Jesus Christ and told this to Jesus. Jesus, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. And then she said something, but I know that God the Father will give you whatever you ask. After which Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Here's what Martha said. She said another, I know. She said, I know that my brother will rise again in the resurrection in the last days. Jesus looked at her squarely in the eye and told her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. Martha, do you believe this? And Martha basically came to a point of believing. What Jesus did at that very story was very simple. Jesus journeyed Martha from a point of knowing to a point of believing. Look at this one. I know for a fact that for some of you here, there are so many things that you know about God. You know that God will provide. You know that God will heal. I think this year, God would want to break those cycles of I knows in your life and start believing the very things that you know. That may be in the area of relationship, the area of provision, or whatever that is. Now, going back to our series here, we're looking at the Apostles' Creed. And whenever you have a creed basically is a set of beliefs. It's like a distinguishing mark of a group of people. Now, for the apostles or for the Christians during their time, and even in our generation right now, we embrace the Apostles' Creed. But I want us also to know that the people who formulated or wrote down the Apostles' Creed were not the first century disciples. I mean, the original disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, the guys who wrote the Apostles' Creed were actually the early church fathers. And up until now, we embrace the Apostles' Creed. Why? Because the Apostles' Creed summarizes the New Testament message. Okay? It is like a summary of the New Testament message. In fact, I want to show you the Apostles' Creed right here, the entire thing. You can read this with me if you want to. Here's what it says. As a Christian, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. And then it says here, He descended into hell. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He will come again one of these days. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Okay, that is what the creed is all about. It is a summary of the New Testament message. If you read the book of Matthew, down to the book of Revelation, you would come to understand that everything is basically encapsulated in the creed. But look at this one. Who am I memorizing this Apostles' Creed? Can I see your hand for a while? You still memorize this? We're thankful for mentors or friends in the past that has allowed us the opportunity to memorize the Apostles' Creed. In fact, it's actually good to memorize creeds. For example, one of the creeds of the Christians during the early times was Jesus is Lord. It's actually one of the creeds that we have. Okay? And of course, madaling i-memorize yung Jesus is Lord. But this one is quite lengthy. But we're thankful for those of you who attended a school that teaches this. They ask you to memorize these things. In fact, imagine this. At my age right now, because I attended a Jesuit Catholic school, I still memorize a Spanish song that I don't even understand. I still memorize it. Fundador soy si Ignacio General de la Compañía Real. I don't even know the meaning of those words. But up until now, I still memorize, you know, I can still basically recite or sing those words. But here's my point. As much as it is helpful to memorize, I want you to catch this. Memorizing and reciting creeds do not guarantee a changed life. It's the same thing in saying that even if you memorize your Bible from cover to cover, it doesn't guarantee a changed life. At the end of the day, we will have to take up our cross daily and make a daily decision. In fact, here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 18. He said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." It was like saying, you guys are so good with creeds. You guys are so good with all of these things with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. And it grieves him for that matter when those things happen. Do you folks know that the demons are not atheists? The Bible says devils, the demons, believe in God and they shudder. These are different things. At the end of the day, we will have to make daily decisions, okay, to obey him or not. Look at this one. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, it says here, "To obey is better than sacrifice. At the end of the day, the affirmation of your faith is found in your actions." The affirmation of our faith is basically affirmed by our deeds more than our creeds. All right? I'm not undermining the creed. It's very important. All right? But at the same time, I'm telling everyone that it is important. Our deeds are important. Okay? The way we conduct our character is important. Okay? Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And this is what we're looking at this evening. We're going to talk about the second installment, which talks about what? The Holy Catholic Church. We will talk about the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. Look at this one. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. It says here, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Who am I glad that Jesus is the one who's going to build the church? Whether with parled or without parled. Whether with a great sound system or without great sound system. At the end of the day, Jesus builds his church. I find comfort in that fact. At the end of the day, the pressure is not on me as a pastor. The pressure is on God. All I have to strive for is for me to be what? A good worker. Okay, an expert builder for that matter. Then it says here, "And on this rock I will build my church." Guess what? It says here, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." It talks about hell and the church. Now, we guys know that church here comes from the Greek word ekklesia. And ekklesia simply means what? The called out ones. You folks catch that? So it gives us a picture now. Why don't you consider yourself a Christian? I want to see your hand. Come on. You are a Christian. Okay, very good. Now look at this one. As a Christian, you are part of the church. You are the church. And guess what? The Bible says you have been called out from the world. So meaning to say, there are things that you have been doing in the past. Now that you have a relationship with God, things should be different because you have called, God has called you out from your past for a purpose and with a purpose. And guess what? If you allow yourself to be set apart and you work out the identity that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says the gates of hell will not be able to overcome you. At the end of the day, I want you to understand this. We are on the offensive. Wherever we go, it's like demons would tremble at our presence. We bring with us the light of the gospel, and we are here to expel the kingdom of darkness. It's not the other way around. It's not like we are the Christians and we are afraid of the spirit of darkness all around us. No! It has to be the other way around. We are on the offensive. And that is one of the promises of Jesus for us. And it's just a sad reality that we have been blinded by fear and doubt and sometimes, or a lot of times, sins. That's why we cannot fulfill the calling that God has placed for us, or the calling that God has given us. Now, looking at the Apostles' Creed about the Holy Catholic Church, here's what we're going to do. I have outlined a couple of things that talks about the church as a whole. Okay, that is found in the creed. First one is this one. The creed states that the church is Catholic. That's what the creed says. The church is Catholic. That's what the creed says. The church is Catholic. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. That's what it says. That's what our early church fathers wrote down. And that's what we have in us. Now, as early as now, allow me to make a distinction. By saying Catholic Church, I am not pertaining to the Roman Catholic Church. Okay? The Catholic Church, I want you to catch this. The Catholic Church could be inclusive of the Roman Catholic Church, but the Roman Catholic Church is not exclusively the Catholic Church. Are you guys confused? Okay, that's not my point. I need you to understand this. I don't want you to be confused. For you to understand this, we have to look at the word Catholic. The word Catholic here comes from the Greek word Catholicos, which means universal or all-embracing. So meaning to say, Catholic simply means believers all around the world, past, present, and future. Catch it? Catholic pertains to all believers, you and me. We are part of the Catholic Church. Okay? All around the world, past, present, and future. The Roman Catholic Church adapted the name Catholic to put the name on the Roman Catholic Church. That's why I was telling you a while ago that the Catholic Church could be inclusive of the Roman Catholic Church, but the Roman Catholic Church is not exclusively the Catholic Church. Are we clear so far? All right? So meaning to say, we consider ourselves part of the Catholic Church. All right? You and me. Okay? Your favorite authors, Max Lucado, C.S. Lewis, okay? Billy Graham, all of those guys, John Calvin, Wesley, all of those guys, Patrick, right? We are all part of the universal church, the Catholic Church for that matter. To put a clearer description of the Catholic Church, I want to borrow a quote. This is quite lengthy, from Pastor Rodney Buchanan, and he said it plainly and clearly. Okay, here's what he said about the Catholic Church, about you and me. He said, "We stand with our hands joined with Abraham and Paul, and every person in all time and every nation who has loved God and walked with Him." All right? "We belong to the family of the redeemed in whatever time they live and from whatever land they have come. We have something in common far greater than ethnic background or our place in time as history sees it." Then he begins to say, "We have a common experience of forgiveness and regeneration. We have a common heritage and a common destiny. And someday," he said, "we will exist together as a common community of the blessed in the eternal kingdom of God here on earth." So that is what the Catholic Church is. It is the universal church. This one right here, Victory Dumaguete, is one local church. But we are part of the universal church of believers. All right? For example, I have here a picture of our Pakistani friends, Pakistani believers. Okay, the church in Pakistan is part of the universal church or the Catholic church. Okay, the guys in every nation, Riyadh in Saudi Arabia, they're part of the Catholic church. Okay, every single place where you go into that has believers in it, the believers there are basically your brothers and sisters. It's as plain as that. Okay, we are all part, basically, of the Catholic Church. Now, for the purposes of our discussion, I think this is very clear that the next few minutes, if I say Catholic Church, I'm pertaining to the universal church. Okay, now here. Now that we know that we are all part of the universal Catholic Church or the Catholic Church, here's my question. What is the biggest problem in the Catholic Church? What is the biggest problem in the Catholic Church? And I think the biggest problem in the Catholic Church, in the universal church, the believers all around the world, could be encapsulated in this one picture right here. This is our biggest problem. Our biggest problem is disunity. The devil has been so successful in dividing churches. Alam niyo po anong pinag-aawayan nila? Sabi kasi ni Church B, sabi niya, bakit ako si Church B, dapat ako si Church A? Sabi naman ni Church A, wala kang karapatan maging Church A dahil ako lang dapat ang Church A. Pang B ka lang. You folks catch it. For some reason, Christians all around the world has been fighting each other over non-essentials. And this is a sad reality that our generation, even the generation past, has experienced and we are experiencing right now. What are the things that we are fighting for? Look at this one. Sometimes churches fight over worship styles. If you're not using hymnals, you are unholy. Why are you guys using Planet Shaker songs? That's of the devil. At the end of the day, I want you to catch it. At the end of the day, if I am invited to any church in this city or any church in this nation, I lose the right to judge whatever is right or wrong. I lose the right to dictate whatever should be done in the worship services. Because at the end of the day, I'm talking about my brothers and sisters. At the end of the day, I don't have to put in my own agenda and my own preference. I don't have to force people to use victory worship songs. Worship styles could be different, but at the end of the day, we have the same Lord Jesus Christ. Who are we then to go out there and visit brothers and sisters in different churches that just because they don't do things the victory way doesn't mean that it doesn't please God? Just because their worship style is different, just because their worship would last for 1 hour, doesn't mean that they please God. In the same breath, just because our songs are limited to 4 songs every Sunday, it also doesn't mean that we do not please God. Are you folks catching this? At the end of the day, these are non-essentials. Of course, there are essentials that are non-negotiables. And we are one with that. That is why I'm talking about Christian churches, not Christian cults. Because whenever a church starts to do things outside of the boundaries of God's word, that is already a Christian cult. Sometimes we don't fight over worship styles. Sometimes what? What happens in the church is that we start fighting over what? Ministry calling. Ministry calling. You know for a fact, if you've been with Victory long enough, you know that everywhere you look in this room, it's full of young people. Yung services ng Victory Dumaguete, amoy estudyante. Alam niyo po yung amoy estudyante? Amoy internet cafe minsan. It's full of students. Why? Because God has given us a specific call to reach the next generation. In this ministry, the next generation is not a side issue. It is at the forefront. But in the same breath, we are thankful for ministries that go to the jails and do different kinds of ministry out there. In fact, we support them because we cannot do one thing all at the same time. There is diversity in what we're doing. Our ministry calling is different. Who am I to label this church as unfruitful or ineffective in what they're doing if God has called them to do that? Sometimes we are becoming so judgmental, okay, towards other Christians who does not fit our category of a Christian. Are you folks with me? Okay? Okay ba kayo? Another thing is this one. Sometimes churches fight over doctrines. We fight over doctrines. I tell you what, when I started doing one-to-one with Patrick, I knew for a fact that there are several things, several doctrines that we are not agreeable with. He knows for a fact that I'm a pure Calvinist, and for some reason, he is siding on something else. But it is a non-essential. At the end of the day, what is more important is the relationship. At the end of the day, we exchange notes and we learn from each other. I want you to understand this. I will never die for a denomination. Why? Because a denomination didn't die for me. Jesus died for me. Even if we have difference in our approach, in doctrines, the way we understand things in the Bible, it doesn't really matter because we have the same passion and love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Minsan kasi ang nangyayari, yung mga doctrines, ginagawa natin para mga fans. Tapos pagka kinalabit yung fans, galit na ka na sa mga tao. It shouldn't be that way. Why do we have to make the minor the major? Major things are like the Apostles' Creed, the doctrine of the Trinity, the doctrine of creation. Those things are non-negotiables. When it comes to worship styles and stuff like that, we can always talk about those things. Here's the sad reality. When we are in a position wherein we fight over these things, guess what? There's a group of people who are watching us. Okay? People are watching us. Guess what? Instead of us reaching out to them, the world is just laughing at us. Every single moment that we fight over all of these crazy things, some of us are agreeable with Manny Pacquiao. Some of us are not agreeable with Manny Pacquiao. Some of us are agreeable with Yen Constantino. Some of us are not agreeable with Yen Constantino. It doesn't matter at the end of the day. Do you really have to make a stand on Facebook? Are you that important? Are you folks with me? Of course, we know that there are things that are non-negotiable, and people would know that. But the moment we engage ourselves in arguments, I tell you what, do you folks realize that nobody wins in an argument? After an argument, pareho kayong bitter towards each other. Lalo na pag natalo ka. I understand the zeal of Christians. But I want you to understand this. Zeal without wisdom is foolishness. I think we need to get our acts straight and start learning how to shut up and stop arguing with fellow Christians and start going out there and reaching out the lost. Do not be a spectator. In all of these things, we have to be proactive in dealing with things like this one. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to 5, it says here, "As you come to him, the living stone rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. It says you're offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." The Bible says you and I are what? Living stones. Hindi jackstone, huh? It's a metaphor that we're given to us that we can basically get connected with each other. You know what our problem is? Instead of becoming living stones, we're like rolling stones. We roll from one church to another. If we don't like the preaching here, we roll from one church to another. You are offended here, you roll from one church to another. Guess what? You're going to roll for the rest of your life. Nakakahilo yun. Now look, I do understand, as a pastor, I'm not saying that I'm not welcoming those of you who are coming from a different ministry. No, that is not my point. In fact, Patrick right here is from another ministry. He was with another church before he joined us. A lot of you are. You are more than welcome in Victory. But I'm telling you what, if you are with us here in Victory, I hope you get the passion and the calling and the vision that God has placed in this ministry so that we can join hands together and start discipling the city. In short, I need your commitment. There's something that God has asked us to do, and guess what? We are going to do it. It's either you're in or you're out, or you roll away. The calling that God has placed for us, there's a commitment that we have to make in the church community where God has placed us. Aside from the Catholic Church, it talks about another thing. It talks about the communion of saints. Okay? The Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. So my second point is this one. The church is the communion of saints. Okay, the church is the communion of saints. Look at this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 to 21, it says here, "So then you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." It says here, now that you are a Christian, you are now a citizen. Question, do you think as a citizen, there's something that is expected from you? As a citizen of the Republic of the Philippines, there are a set of rules or laws that I have to follow. If you consider yourself a citizen of heaven, there's something that is expected from you. God is expecting something. It's either, ano ba, akala ko ba citizen ka o hindi? Akala ko ba citizen ka? Citizen ka ba o hindi? It says here in verse 20, "Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself, being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord." It says here that we are a communion of saints. How is that possible? Look at this one. Growing up in the Philippines, maybe with the exception of those who are not from here, like Patrick and some of our Korean friends, in the Philippines, we have a set mindset as to what a saint is. A saint for a Filipino is something like this, guys, right here. Am I right? That's the saints that we have in mind. We grew up understanding that these are the saints that we have. Now look at this one. I want you to catch this. when Paul would write his letters to the different Christians in the Gentile world, when he would write to the Ephesus, what would he say? To the what? To the saints in Ephesus. To the saints in Galatia or whatever. So at the end of the day, it gives me a picture, friends, that a believer is a saint. It gives me a picture then that I have this privilege to be a saint. I don't have to wait for a group of people to elect me to become a saint. I don't have to wait for something like that. As a believer, I am already a saint. Look at the person beside you for a while. Nakalain mo isurang yan, saint. Grabe grace ni God. By virtue of what Christ has done on the cross, you are a saint. So you go home tonight, go ahead and change your name on Facebook. Change it to Saint Ryan, Saint Del, or whatever. I hope that is very clear. So next time you read your Bible to the saints, guess what? You put your gospel lens on, guess what? Those words aren't for you. It is always important for us to put our gospel lens on so that when you read the Old Testament, you put your gospel lens on, guess what? Whatever blessing that God has promised to Abraham, guess what? It is for us. The saints of the living God. Then it says here, there has to be a what? A communion of saints. Now what is a communion? A communion is as simple as this one. It means a covenant relationship, unity, and fellowship. Haven't you been wondering why we keep telling you about victory groups? Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, every MC will tell you, get yourselves involved in a victory group. Why? Because that is what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 10 tells us here, do not give up meeting together. The truth is, you cannot be a Rambo kind of Christian. You cannot do things on your own. Guess what? You will not grow on your own. You need people who would spur you. You need people who would encourage you. You need people whom you have to listen to as they tell you the truth in love. You cannot grow on your own. A victory group is not a victory dumagete thing. It is a biblical thing. You need to get plugged in into a community of believers. Sometimes we get so annoyed and irritated when people start speaking into our lives. Guess what? You need people like those. You need friends who will tell you the truth. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And look at this one. And all the more as you see the day approaching. I hope it's not going to be too late. Hey, wake up. That's what the Bible says. The day is approaching. I am not a proponent of last day or something like that. I've never preached something like that. But I tell you what, one of these days, those things will happen. Sana naman when everything is said and you're not like someone who just got off the flame. Oh, grabe, may usok-usok ka pa pagpasok ko ng heaven. I hope we're ready when the time comes that Jesus Christ comes back. And we don't know that time, of course. It's not for us to know. People would meet in houses and temple courts. Temple courts just like this one. This is not enough. What you get here every Sunday, this is not going to sustain you throughout the week. This is just my preaching for 45 minutes. After which you will have to feed yourself. You need to get plugged into a group of people who would speak to you, would share verses to you. Small groups, for that matter. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread. Meaning they come together and they understand what Christ has done for them. That they would partake of the communion together and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. My last point here this evening, supposedly is my first point, but I intentionally placed this in the last. First off, I told you a while ago that the church is Catholic. It is universal. We are part of the Catholic Church. Maybe not the Roman way. Secondly, we understand this. And third, I want us to understand, and this is very important, the church is holy. Let me add something to that. The church is supposedly holy. Paul would allude to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Then it says here, to present her to himself as a radiant church. As a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Well, you've tried attending a wedding. You've tried attending a wedding at some point in your life. May nakita na po ba kayo na bride naglalakad sa aisle tapos soiled at dumi-dumi na nung gown niya? Nung wedding gown niya, puro wrinkle na, puro dumi na. Wala pong ganun. Okay? The bride would always walk down the aisle pure and holy before God without wrinkle. Let me just make this very clear. Romans chapter 1 verse 7, the church is called to be God's holy people. Yes, there are moral standards in Christianity. There are moral standards in Christianity. Why? Because we live for someone, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been set apart to have a relationship with him because he is holy. Therefore, we have to be holy. I want to end with this. If you remember, Jesus walked this earth for how many years? Scholars would say, or rather, scholars would agree that he was with us for 33 long years. I want you to catch this. Look at this. In those 33 years, Jesus was what? He was the expression of the very Spirit of God. That's why people would ask about the Father. It was like saying, hey, you're looking at the Father. You're looking at God Himself. So He was the visible expression of the Godhead. But there's something that happened in John chapter 14. He said something that has shaken the world of the disciples. You know what He said? He started telling them, hey guys, I am going to the Father. And His disciples were like, what are you talking about? You're leaving us? And indeed, He was about to leave them. And here's the picture that God told them. As He would depart, here's what He said. He promised something. As I leave you, I'm going to send you another helper. You folks catch this? I'm going to send you another helper. And that is the what? That is the Holy Spirit. For 33 long years, Jesus was the visible expression of the Godhead. Now that He has departed, the Bible says He's going to give us the Holy Spirit, just like what John said a while ago, who is to take residence in us. Now, it's no longer Jesus Christ. People all around you will look to you as the fulfillment and the expression of God's love for us. Now, you are the expression of the Spirit of God here on earth. It's a make or break situation. That is why He is telling us to be holy, to be radiant as a church. That's why He would tell us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's how He would further tell us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, therefore, honor God with your body. The church is Catholic. It is universal. The church is where there is a communion of saints. But take note, it talks about the Holy Catholic Church. And when I end this with this line right here, your life is the only expression and evidence of Jesus that some people will ever see. You folks catch that? It's as simple as this one. Your life and your preaching, and they will try to add it up, and then from there they will see if they will have to shoo away from the church and or go near the church. Folks, at the end of the day, we are accountable for this one. It's either we inch them closer to Jesus Christ or we shoo them away from the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope and pray. I'm not saying that we have to be perfect. All I'm saying is this one. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Maybe for some of you here, God is telling you to cut off relationships that doesn't honor Him. Maybe for some of you, God is telling you to stop watching pornography. Maybe for some of you, God is telling you to stop looking at another woman lustfully. And the only motive of God is this one. He wants you radiant by the time you meet Him. It is for you. It is for us. So that when everything is said and done, we're not going to meet Jesus Christ and our heads are bowed down. Lord, I'm sorry. It's all soiled up. But we will have the confidence by His grace to present ourselves as a radiant church. Amen.